Hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay? Cool. So first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time for this interview. And as well too, I want to offer my congratulations on to the movie 12 Hour Shift, as well too winning Best Script at this year's Fantasia Award. How does it feel?
It feels really good, actually. You work on these things and you never know if people are going to like them because we make them for such a small amount of money. And it's not like I had a lot of people watch it before it got seen in front of a huge audience or an audience, a digital audience, I guess. So it was really exciting to get that kind of response to the movie.
That's good. So maybe we can take it one step behind and talk a little bit about the inspiration behind 12 Hour Shift and how it came to be a film.
Well, a lot of things were going through my mind when I first started watching it. I'm making it, writing it. Wow, I just woke up, so give me
No problem.
a moment. It's earlier here in California. So a lot of things were going through my head. One was spending a lot of time in a hospital, so that was sort of just on my mind, and nurses in general, and the amazing job that they do, and how much work they do taking care of us, and how insane their jobs are. I have a few nurses in my family, so that always it hits me hard when I'm spending any sort of time in a hospital, is how much work they're doing and how long their shifts are, and just the continuous needs of people for nurses. So I took that and kind of combined it with growing up in East Texas, that's where I'm from, and putting some people in it that I knew from then. And then also at the time, I thought a lot about urban legends. And the urban legend that really stuck with me is the one about the person waking up in a bathtub who's missing a kidney. Do you know this one?
No, I don't know about this urban legend.
Oh my God, I'm going to tell it to you. Okay, so
Okay.
the urban legend is you wake up in a bathtub full of ice,
Okay.
and there's something written on the mirror, and it says, "Go to the hospital right now." And it turns out someone has stolen your kidney or whatever. And this is sort of my story of like who stole that kidney and what happened to that kidney and why they would need a kidney. It's sort of my weird like continuation of this 90s story that I grew up with.
All right. And a lot of this film, 12 Hour Shift, delves into the realm of comedy as well to horror. So how do you blend the dark comedy with the horror for your film? How does it draw the line?
Yeah, I think everything I do has a lot of comedy in it. So for me, that is just very natural. It doesn't ever feel weird. There were definitely dark moments on set when we were shooting, but for the most part, it's a pretty light set. There are lots of jokes about the organs. So I think it's for me like there's sort of two sides of the same coin for me, right? Comedy and horror are all about timing. And for me, this is actually a dark comedy with a lot of horror elements in it. So I leaned into the comedy, knowing that the horror would play itself out as long as I had people who understood like the timing of horror, meaning Angela Bettis and my editor, Amy McGrath, and people like that who knew how to create horror within a comedic atmosphere.
One of the things that I find very interesting about this horror film compared to other ones is that you show the actual murder that's taking place rather than letting the audience try to guess at the who the murderers are. So why did you choose to go that route of showing right away the murders taking place?
That's a good question. I think because this film, our protagonists are the bad guys, really. The antagonists are the super bad guys, but our main protagonists are a drug addict who obviously has some very antisocial tendencies and is not necessarily a nice person, and her cousin, who is a clear psychopath. And to an extent, the other characters all have very specific flaws. So you see all of them on the screen. So for me, that felt natural because we're following these two main characters through their night and they are killing people. So we see that happen. In the same way that, like in a heist movie, you would see people plan their heist and go about doing all these heist things. This is part of their heist for the evening. It just happens to be a heist gone completely wrong as the night progresses.
True. So, unlike the traditional qualities that you see inside of like the medical shows or doctor shows, there's sort of these redemptive qualities that you kind of want to have for your characters, and especially the nurse character inside of this film. So did you try to have a redemptive quality to the character, the main character? Or
I mean, yeah, yes and no. I think the character of Mandy, I wanted to be sort of an anti-hero in the same way that I think we see a lot of anti-heroes in a lot of things I like. I mean, the show I always point to is that show House, which was on for like a billion seasons and is a medical show. And he kind of had no redemptive qualities. And there, every few episodes, I mean, his redemptive quality was that he was smart. And that's the same with Mandy. She is quite smart. And when I took the script to Angela Bettis, I was like, you know, this character, I don't care if she's likable. Like, I want us to be cheering for her because she is our protagonist, but it doesn't have to be, people don't have to immediately identify her as a likable person. So I think Mandy has this one line in the script that makes her have some redeeming qualities. And that's that she says at one point that sometimes she has too much faith in humanity. And I think the problem with her is she's just been beat down by the world. And so she is angry at everything. And she does have a lot of she's pissed off, you know? And so, and has been, you know, at every turn, life has handed her crap. So she deals with it by handing crap back, but she still has this strong faith in humanity at the end of the day, and still wants to save people. And she is the person who saves everyone at the end.
True. That Spoiler. Is true. So it can be sort of like a dark redemption inside of the very end, that we see a different light of Mandy, like how we see the redemptive qualities of Dr. House or even Nurse Jackie, that Edie Falco characters played on Nurse Jackie.
Yeah, I watched a lot of Nurse Jackie in prepping for this, actually.
That's a good prep for this role or this story, in fact, too. So I guess that I can ask you, where do you see the horror genre going inside of this new decade with films? Like, do you see it going where the found footage takes over again? Maybe small independent horror films like yourself? Or do you see trilogies continuing, like the Halloween saga or the Friday the 13th saga continuing?
You know, my answer would have been really different 6 months ago. Okay. But as a person who's hardly left their house in 6 months, it's hard to know. I will say, like, as far as just being on this side of development things, people are looking for those small movies. They're looking for the movies they can make with four or five people with a very, very small crew, which is how we did this one. I mean, our cast is quite large, but our crew was smaller than our cast. So I do think we're going to see a lot of those popping up just over the next couple years as we're trying to figure out what to do, how to shoot during COVID or even post-COVID when not everyone has a vaccine and et cetera. But I don't know. I mean, I think the thing about horror is that the horror community is very loyal and very smart. And I think, like me, I love horror movies that take knowledge that we already have about the horror genre and build upon it. Like, I love that Halloween, like, was like, the new Halloween was like, we already know you know all these characters. We already know that you know this story. Here's the story we're telling. We're not revamping it. And I think the new Candyman is supposed to be kind of the same way. I'm not sure. So I think as far as these stories go, I think what we're going to be doing, and what I hope we're doing, is that we're sort of building on this collective genre and this collective knowledge within the genre and making cool stuff on top of that. Like, we all know what a slasher looks like, but what does it look like today? What does it look like with different characters? What does it look like just as a modern day version of the slasher instead of the slasher we maybe saw in the 80s?
All right. So alongside your film, David Arquette also starred inside of his own documentary at this year's Fantasia Festival, You Cannot Kill David Arquette, which I really enjoyed. How is it working with David Arquette on set?
Awesome. I actually haven't seen it yet because it premiered here while I was out of the country. So I haven't got a chance to see it. But yeah, he's great. He was a producer. So he was on from the very beginning, him and his wife. They were on board from the moment they read the script. They brought on Mick Foley to play a character for one scene, which was really rad. And he was lovely. He was a really nice producer. He has a busy schedule, so he came in and did what he could do. And we would shoot him. and then he would have to leave and go do like a wrestling match and stuff. But he was a really nice producer. One day he came in, brought a donkey to set just so everyone could have a petting zoo day. Like, he was quite fun to work with.
That's great. That sounds like a bunch of fun. So normally we like to end our interviews normally with a fun question. So maybe I can ask you, what have been some of your favorite films that you've seen this year, or maybe a Fantasia film that you really enjoyed seeing this year, if you've seen any of them?
Yeah, I only got to watch a few because I was actually working during most of Fantasia on a TV show out in Europe. But I watched... The Columnist was very good. I watched that one. And I watched a couple of shorts that really blew me away. And I'm going to, one was called Who Goes There? One was called Lauren Can't Sleep, I think. I may be butchering the name. And I watched, I think this played Fantasia, but I watched it at Chattanooga Film Festival earlier this year, a movie called Jumbo that has been one of my favorite movies of the year. Okay. About a woman who falls in love with a carnival ride. Really spoke to me.
That sounds very interesting. No,
I think every girl who was like a little bit of an outcast in high school watches that movie and they're like, wow, I really see myself here. It's amazing. Jumbo. I don't know when it comes out everywhere. I don't even know if it's out yet, but it played Chattanooga and I believe it also played Fantasia.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time today and once again offer my congratulations onto your film as well to winning Best Script at this year's Fantasia Film Festival.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. All the best.